Midway through the 2016 football season, and we still have a surprise unbeaten. The two smaller schools that we usually talk about split their games, and the big boys were a perfect 4-0, but the Chandler area schools had a 6-1 record on the week. Yes, 6-1, and we'll tell you who the new addition is later in the show. Plenty of teams, plenty of talent, and plenty of action. Brett Quintan with the C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson and Chili join me this week as always, so reach out to us via Twitter. You know we'll tweet back. Visit us on ArizonaVarsity.com, and of course, give a like to our Facebook page. You'll love it. Let's start off with the Valley Christian Trojans. VC put up a tremendous fight but came up short against the Benjamin Franklin Chargers 14-12 last Friday. Quarterback Jordan Larson had a solid game with a pair of touchdown runs and completed a long 40-yard pass to Felix Benitez. But in the end, two second-half scores by Ben Franklin High School out of Queen Creek was the difference in that game. VC is now 0-4 on the year, and a game at 4-0 Wickenburg is next. The Wranglers still unbeaten. The Seton Catholic Sentinels, back-to-back wins for the first time since 2014. They needed overtime, but they get past Coombs 19-16. Forrest Sweet with a great game, a pair of touchdown passes with Jacob Terrell on the receiving end of one of them, and the Sentinels are now 3-2 on the year. Ralph, it's good to see the red and gold now have a winning record.
And that winning record looks even better with Yuma Catholic going up to River Valley. Who was previously undefeated and getting a win, and that really stymies Seton Catholic's resume so far. They have a really, really tough section, so you know they're going to need all the power points and all the help they can get going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, but over there in Chandler, on Dobson and Ray Road, it is Wade's world. My man Nick Wade, running back, doing it all, scored that winning touchdown in overtime.
And perhaps this team is starting to turn the corner. They play at Coronado on Friday, and the Dons post just a 1-3 record, so we could see Seton Catholic two games above the 500 mark next Friday. At the top of the show, we said that the Chandler area schools were 6-1. Well, that's because we're going to introduce the Castile Colts to you. Who better to talk about that school and its football program than the superintendent of the Chandler Unified School District, Dr. Camille Castile, along with its athletic director, Marcus Williams. I'm joined by two very influential people in the Chandler Unified School District, and that is, well, we're going to do the queen first. That is Dr. Camille Castile. She is the superintendent of the school district, as well as Marcus Williams, who is the athletic director. And actually, I'm going to start with you, Dr. Castile. First off, happy birthday, and I just want to say on behalf of C-Town Rivals and a lot of people, you run an outstanding school district.
Oh, thank you very much. It's an honor to be the superintendent here, and I appreciate your nice comments.
What are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis that keeps the school district up and running?
And I know you do a lot. So
well, no, actually, I don't do a lot. I'd say that my major goal is to hire great people and then try to stay out of their way.
Okay. Speaking of great people, I'm with one of them as well, and that is Marcus Williams. I know I always call you Mr. Williams, but I guess in this case you're allowing me to call you Marcus. What have you been up to? I have not seen you in a while. Normally we cross paths on the sidelines, but it's been a bit.
Oh, hey, thanks for having us. Again, daily operations, trying to manage 712 athletics and K-12 discipline. Another portion of my job is I'm over all discipline for the district, so that's a lot of management, working with principals, assistant principals, deans, working through situations on their campuses.
One of your, all of your tweets, the signature is CUSD. The school district is second to none. I know it's got to make both of you guys feel good when you see student athletes moving on to great things. Obviously, the first couple that come to mind, Nikhil Harry and Chase Lucas over at ASU. Just seeing these guys get scholarships has to be outstanding.
Oh, it's a great feeling. And whenever I do tweet that, whenever I have that as one of my, I guess, catchphrases whenever I tweet, I truly believe that. And second to none is not just the athletic portion, it's the academic portion. It starts initially by a wonderful governing board that's been in the district for years, and then wonderful administrators, great school population as far as boosters, community supporters, businesses. And then, again, just as Dr. Kistel stated, we try to hire, or the building principals try to hire the best coaches on their campus that are educators as well to continue that message. A lot of hard work goes into it. As you can see, through our community education department, we have a lot of camps and clinics and programs where a lot of our coaches, a lot of our athletes are working close to year-round in multiple sports, not just one sport, to try to give their best as far as on the competition field and also academically.
Dr. Kistel, I've seen you on the sidelines of many games cheering on the Chandler schools. One of the things that has to be a challenge for you is when the two teams play each other. How do you determine what bides your time and what outfits you'll wear, that sort of thing?
Well, I try to wear neutral colors, or in our district, if you wear a black shirt, you're pretty safe. But I always start with the home team, and then each quarter I switch sides. And they know to expect that, and it's always exciting. You know, by the way, you talk about the young athletes and the scholarships. We had an opportunity to go to Basha High last week when Ryan Kelly received his honor. And, you know, it's just nice when you can see how proud the family is, because they certainly are our partners as we develop these young people, and it was just real exciting.
Speaking of young people, there are a lot more young people now than, say, 2 years ago who are enrolled in a CUSD school. I like to call it the hot high school. It's very popular. It's ever-growing, and that's a high school that's been named after you. Tell us, and we'll talk to Marcus about some of the athletic side of things, but tell us what Kistel High School brings to the table.
You know, that certainly was a surprise and a tremendous honor, very humbling to have a high school named after you. And I think what they bring to the table is another choice and another option, because it is eventually a 7 through 12. We started with the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, added the 10th grade this year. So it's another opportunity. It's a little smaller environment because all our schools are 3 to 4,000 students. And it's just a lot of energy out there, so we're real excited just to offer another opportunity.
Speaking of opportunities, Spencer Stowers was offered an opportunity as the head coach of the Kistel Colts, and wow, they're unbeaten. They're 5-0. What went into the process of hiring him, bringing him over to Westwood? Obviously, he's done a fine job so far.
Spencer has done a great job, but I think moreover, Sandy Lundberg and her staff, meaning Tom Dunn, Ryan Ridenour, as far as the athletic director, and then the coaches that they have completely embraced the 7-12 model. As everybody is noticing right now, it is definitely a competitive advantage, I would say, to have a 7-12 model, because those high school coaches are interacting with their 7th and 8th graders, and they're learning their philosophy, they're establishing cultures, they're establishing traditions, and they're completely buying in. It doesn't matter if it's football, if it's boys basketball, girls basketball, boys and girls volleyball, they're completely embracing it. And that's within every facet of Kistel, which you can definitely see on the competition field.
We're speaking with Dr. Camille Kistel, the superintendent of the CUSD, as well as Marcus Williams, the athletic director of the CUSD. Kistel High School is in Queen Creek. Most of the schools, of course, are in within the Chandler boundaries, we'll say. How was it, when I say developed, obviously Queen Creek not necessarily even near the district office. Tell us about the initial planning thoughts of where to place a new school.
Well, what we looked for is enough land. And the land is very limited. We now have 2 schools in Queen Creek, and we have 5 schools in the town of Gilbert. So the balance of those, what is that, 38 schools would be in the city of Chandler. So we span 3 municipalities, and it really was a matter of where could we find enough space. And that was the area, and that was certainly where our growth was. The primary objective was to relieve Payne Junior High, which was 1,400 and well over capacity, and certainly to give Perry some relief. They're pushing 3,500.
It's getting big, yeah.
So it's getting big. So all our growth is in the southeast, and we needed somewhere to relieve our 7 through 12 population.
And I can't stop talking enough about it. The CUSD is just outstanding. I will ask both of you guys, and I'm going to start with Dr. Kistel first. What is a what's the future vision? Obviously, you guys have done tremendously in rising the school district up, but what's one thing that you'd like to concentrate on or a certain goal that the district may have?
Well, our governing board has a 10-year strategic plan, and that plan really is the primary goal is to be the best district in the country, and we have a lot of work to get there. But that's our focus, and our board would tell you that our students and our families and our staff deserve no less, that if you don't want to be the best, then why are you in the game?
How can you top that?
Well, that's definitely, you know, tough to top. I will say, though, the product that Chandler Unified gives, both academically and athletically, is second to none. You know, as the athletic director, we hire great coaches whose ultimate goal is to be good to kids as far as extending the classroom onto the playing field to raise great young men and great young women who are going to be future husbands and wives and so on and so forth. So that's the main premise of educationally based athletics, is to help our young students grow and get onto that next level, to wherever it may be, if it's playing collegiately, if it's in the private sector, or whatever it may be. Again, to do our part and in making CUSD athletics and CUSD school districts second to none.
And I'll finish up on a football note, actually. The Colts are 5-0, Division 3A. I'm sure the goal with the growth is to ultimately move up to 4A and 5A and maybe even 6A?
Yeah, well actually, they are, their student enrollment is 2A. So as, as a district and the site, we decided, you know what, we got to get ready for either 4A or potentially 5A when the school has its first graduating class or in the second two-year block of the school's history. So they appealed up, and obviously their programs are doing quite well. I do see it being after their, or during their first graduating class or the second two-year block through the AIA scheduling, they'll be pushing 1,800 to 2,000, and then it will continue to grow from there. So we're definitely excited to where Castile can be and where it's currently doing right now, and in embracing building a new school, establishing those cultures and traditions that we spoke to.
That's Marcus Williams and Dr. Castile, two people who represent a school district that's second to none.
As Marcus Williams says, they are led by Spencer Stowers, and this club is 4-0. Their most recent victory, a 54-0 shutout over Odyssey Institute, the Minotaur. Quarterback Gunnar Cruz found Colin Gapin not once but twice for touchdown passes, and the Colts dominated from start to finish. What I liked most about this win, they scored 28 fourth quarter points. They don't let up. Ralph Gradley will start to talk more about this team, but it's just its second year of opening its doors. They're starting to have the look of a potential 3A powerhouse.
God, we've already got them. I mean, of all of the ballots that were submitted for the ArizonaVarsity.com media poll this week, they had three votes at number two, and I was one of them. I think Jared Cohen of Sports 360 AZ was one of the other ones. This team, they could legitimately compete for a championship at 3A this year, and they weren't even supposed to.
Right.
They were supposed to take another year to kind of get their bearing, but they've got such great participation out there. They've got a very good coach who had an undefeated regular season at Westwood a couple of years ago. They have a great quarterback who I've been hearing about since Pop Warner days, who former Hamilton quarterback Joey Vincent actually worked with as the school got its program started up. They run the pistol. They have a complicated offense, yet these kids seem to have mastered it. And I talked to Matthew Tonis, who covers Arizona State but has been doing some stringing for East Valley Tribune, and he says this isn't just good for a 3A team with freshmen and sophomores. This is a good team regardless. This is a good Arizona high school football team. So
that's
we have
nice.
Them climbing the rankings in our state 48 power rankings. I think they're one of maybe three 3A teams that are even included in that. So they kind of went from surprising everyone to having a lot to live up to for the rest of the year.
I think the balance is amazing over there. Gunnar Cruz, their quarterback's throwing for almost 275 yards a game, and their ground game just chewing it up, 182 yards on the ground, and they got 13 rushing touchdowns and 12 passing touchdowns. Limiting the turnovers.
Sure.
Even with a complex offensive playbook, only one interception thrown. The kid's a sophomore. Like, Man, you gotta love what they got going on over there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a strong program from top to bottom. And the funny thing is, like we've said, the top is only sophomores right now. So imagine in a couple of years when Gunnar Cruz is a senior. I mean, we're very optimistic. There's a lot of great things happening over in a school that's technically in Queen Creek, but part of the Chandler Unified School District. So that's just awesome. And fellas, we could see another blowout this Friday. They'll host Kingman, and the Bulldogs are 0-4.
Yikes.
The Bastyr Bears, great to see them get in the win column. Gerald Todd's team is now 1-4 after outscoring Desert Mountain 48-28. Deshaun Goodman with 3 touchdown runs. Colin Collins with a pair of scoring passes. And the Bears' defense had allowed, at least on paper, what we might expect, and that was 28 points. You guys were both at the game, and I'm going to start with you, Ralph, because you never know what Chili's going to hype up, but it's always a good thing. Break down the game, a man, with the highs and the lows.
Well, it was sort of a weird start. Ryan Kelly came out in uniform, took 2 snaps, came off the field, ran to the locker room, came out in an ASU hat, white shirt, and jersey shorts, and I talked to him on his way back to the field, asked him if he was all right. He said, yeah, I'll be fine. He had some tightness in his shoulder. He never really planned on playing in the game, and we had a hell of a time trying to figure out exactly what they were doing. And at halftime, Terrell Brown and Jonathan Nathaniel told Chili and I that, you know, they just thought that, you know, Collins would be nervous if he went out there and didn't have a chance to kind of observe the game speed from the sideline. So that was the strategy. Collins still overthrew a couple of receivers early on. He did look like he had a little bit of nerves, but he also looked like he had absolutely no problem taking off running with the ball.
That's great.
He's a sophomore. He won the Arizona Cardinals like Player of the Week. They're doing a presentation out at Basha, which is pretty cool because, you know, he's going to go right back to to holding the clipboard. So definitely a good game for him. Defensively, they got better as the game went on against a very good offensive Desert Mountain team. I was really, really impressed with Desert Mountain. There was a lot of players that I really liked. But at the end of the day, Basha closed it out. We had a chance to talk to Gerald Todd after the game. He looked so relieved. He said they replaced both their offensive and defensive coordinators. He said his goal as being an assistant for 20-plus years was that if he ever got a head coaching job was to really turn over a lot of control to his assistants. And he said it was a really tough thing for him to kind of look in the mirror and say, it's possible I gave up too much control too early to people who weren't necessarily ready for it. So, you know, I think he struggled with that decision, but ultimately made some changes. And at least in the win column, you know, it looks like it could have been effective. We'll see how things go for the rest of the season. But I was really impressed with both Goodmans. I was really impressed with their commitment to running around the edge in the running game. And their effort on defense in the second half was solid. We've been hearing whispers that there's a strong possibility that smaller schools, maybe even the big schools, state championship could be held out at Basha just because the stands are so big. And, you know, it's a complete pipe dream right now for Basha to picture themselves playing in any, you know, championship game, much less a playoff game at home. But it's a great environment out there. And if they can hold it together and they can do enough just based on the strength of schedule, you know, if they can get a win over Brophy, if they can get a win over Perry, if they can split Chandler and Hamilton, then you're probably looking at a team that's ekes their way into the playoffs, and that would be really, really good for them based on how they started.
These Goodman boys are crazy good. One of them, Jalen, has almost 120 yards receiving, and the other one, Deshaun, has like 160 on the ground. I can't say enough about them, and Collins did step in, threw for almost 300 himself. They look good. They look good out there. Against what I'd like to say is one of the best winless teams in the state. That team has a high-powered offense, and, you know, Basha did their thing. I've never seen a coach look so relieved.
That's good to see and hear.
Right.
Well, I'll say now it's time for Basha to host the Mesa Jackrabbits. Mesa 2-3, and most recently they gave up 69 points to Desert Ridge. That's something certainly that should bode well for the Basha Bears offense. The Chandler Wolves, they bounced back the way we thought they would with a 55-16 win over Sandra Day O'Connor. The Wolves' record actually is just 3-2 through 5 games, but Chili, when this team is right, it's hard to stop the boys from 350 North Arizona Avenue.
Oh, yeah, without question. This team is loaded with athletes. There's so many good players that they have, and they can really fill up the stat sheet quickly. And they had absolutely zero problem last week. We said that it was going to be a blowout, and Chandler absolutely did not disappoint one bit. I don't expect Mountain Ridge to pose much of a problem for them. I'm expecting them to, you know, continue to take out their frustrations of being 3-2. This is a team that isn't satisfied with the record that they currently have. They don't care who those losses came to and how good those teams were. I'm expecting big games from TJ Green, Ryan Johnson, all those athletes over
Johnny
there.
Johnny Johnson,
so,
sure.
Johnny Johnson, all of them. So, I think that Mountain Ridge, man, it's going to be tough for them.
And Ralph, now that they're playing pretty much regularly on Fridays, do they get back on track to their normal winning ways, we'll say? Because it is tough to play an out-of-state game on a Saturday, and then a Friday and a Thursday. Seems like your weeks get shorter and shorter.
Yeah, I'm still of the mindset that Chandler's, you know, top five team in the state that has played a tough schedule. They're going to get healthy in some of these games. Chili, you have them number 9, even behind Dobson right now. And so, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of variance, even in the way that we voted. Some people have them as high as 2. I think I had them somewhere in the middle, 5 or 6. Chili had them at 9. And overall, the poll had Skyline ranked above Chandler. And so, you know, I think people look at those losses and they don't care who they came to. They say this is a 2-loss team that hasn't handled business. And, you know, Jordan Knight tweeted out that he felt like that, you know, it was a little bit of an overreaction. Mm-hmm. You know, Jordan works with us every week, and he said he does not endorse this week's results. But, I mean, I found them really, really interesting because this team does have a lot of talent. What will be interesting is to see if people give them credit for wins over not very good teams, mm-hmm. The same way that they took a lot of credit away for losses against really good teams. But I think it's still fresh in people's mind that they lost 52-7, even though they were missing a couple of key pieces in that game. They just did not look good against Mountain Point. So Mountain Ridge lost 28-0 to Tucson. Tucson's a pretty good team, but Tucson had to drive all the way up to the West Valley for that game. So this is
it's a 3-hour run.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah,
wow.
This isn't necessarily. They just better hope someone doesn't get hurt.
Something that I think people have to consider is that this Chandler team, as athletic as they are, and as good of a football team, and as well coached as they are, they have still given up 50 points twice. 50 points twice, and that means that anybody with a potent offense, and respectively, any mm-hmm. team with a potent offense is capable of hanging a 50 spot on Chandler. And I know Chandler doesn't want to hear it. And this doesn't mean that I don't have no love for Amani Lee or Carlos Brooks. I think those players are fantastic. I think that somewhere within them, they just got to say, hey, this isn't Chandler football. Giving up 50 points, letting people hang these 50 spots on us, that's not us. Take a long, hard look in the mirror, get right, punch somebody in the mouth next week, and get going.
And that team that's going to get punched in the mouth more than likely will be the Mountain Ridge Mountain Lions. Yeah, 2-2, and indeed, defense is what it's all about, and Chandler certainly is going to have to step up a little bit in that capacity. Hamilton, the Huskies are up next, and they too bounce back the way we thought they would with a 61-14 win over Cesar Chavez. Tyler Schell connected with Jawar Jordan on a 63-yard touchdown pass, and the Huskies never looked back. He passed for 6 TDs and 294 yards. Hamilton improved to 4-1. Chili, as I mentioned, much like Chandler, they took their frustrations out on a lesser opponent.
Yeah, they definitely had to. They definitely felt like they had something that they had to show. Hamilton is at its best every year when they play mad. You talked about the 6 touchdowns briefly. One going for 63 yards, I believe. Mm-hmm. Tyler is the show. So, I mean, I think this team is going to go the direction that he leads them. I expect more games like this. Like I said, I think that this is a kid that's capable of throwing 40 touchdowns. 40 touchdowns. So he's kind of got a way to go.
And we get to eat if the 40-yard touchdown.
Right. Me and Ralph got something going on here. You know, it is interesting because, you know, there's few people that I think are as knowledgeable on high school sports within the state of Arizona than Ralph. And Ralph, before last week's game, he kind of told me that Cesar Chavez wasn't a pushover. He didn't say that they were going to put up much of a fight, but he kind of, you know, made it out like they're not a pushover. And so, you know, I take that and I see that this Hamilton team came out and just stomped a mud hole through Cesar Chavez. I don't even know if Levine is still standing no more. I'm just saying, like, this Hamilton team, they're mad, and I feel bad for the team that's got them next on the schedule.
Hamilton, I mean, it was tied 14-14 after the first. They did go up into halftime, only up 13.
Backing up what you said.
Hamilton dropped 34 in the second half. And Cesar Chavez, I mean, had 20 yards passing. If you're one-dimensional, there's really not much you're going to be able to do against Hamilton. And, I mean, they did rush for 357 yards. Hamilton does continue to struggle against the run. That could give them some serious trouble this week against Caleb Hardin and Skyline because, I mean, he already has a game where I think he rushed for over 300 yards mm-hmm. by himself. So I'm worried a little bit that Hamilton gave up 8 yards per carry in a game where, you know, they still dominated, obviously, and one of those runs was a 98-yard run, so you kind of have to remove that one from the statistics. But even then, 250 yards rushing over 40 carries without that 98-yard touchdown, that's still not necessarily Hamilton football. So I'm a little bit worried that Skyline has an accurate passer. They have a tough run game. 2 years ago, they almost clipped Hamilton in the first round of the playoffs. Bellis came out and said a couple of things that got the players fired up last year about Skyline having absolutely no business not appealing up and playing in Division II last year, where I think they had an undefeated regular season. And so a lot of feelings have kind of come together. And this is a really, really big game. It's one of my top three games of the week. I really think this is going to be this is really, really going to be huge. And I think it's Tyler Shuck. I think you pronounce his last name Shuck, if I'm remembering our interview with Tyler Alexander correctly. But I think his momentum will carry over. I believe he's found his footing, and that second half was really telling. And if they can carry that over and jump out and get a lead on Skyline, I don't necessarily think the Coyotes will be able to hang with them point for point, but I still see it being a close game.
Dang, because I see Hamilton getting out in this one. I see Hamilton winning this one by 21 and, you know, kind of putting the stamp down, maybe beating Skyline back down to a lower level of competition.
Wow. All righty. Yeah. As Rob said, it's definitely a big one for the Huskies at home. 5-0 is Skyline. And as you said, the last meeting between these two teams was a 21-14 Huskies win in the second round of the 2014 playoffs. The Perry Pumas, they continue to fly high, and they're the only unbeaten team in the area or at least we'll say the big schools, with a 5-0 record after smashing the Aztecs of Corona del Sol 54-21. Brock Purdy passes for 382 yards and 4 TDs. Ralph, once again, it's fun to say that 5 different Pumas found the end zone. James, Fultz, and company, they've been having their way with opponents early and often.
Yeah, we thought we actually might be able to make it out to that game last week if the game we were at got out of hand early. The game we were at had a long halftime, and Perry had put Corona away by halftime. So that was a game that if they went out and they handled business, it would just sort of add to the resume they have thus far. If you look at that Desert Vista win, it still looks really good, even though Desert Vista's 1-3, because Desert Vista's 3 losses have all come to top 17.
True.
In Division One, so I and Desert Vista has a chance to possibly beat undefeated Dobson this week. So I look at what Perry has done, and I'm encouraged by what some of the other teams that they've played against have done. After that, I think that having such a big adjustment at quarterback and continuing to run on all cylinders offensively and to do what it takes defensively to build those big early leads shows a lot of character. I'm not ready to put them above anyone in the section yet because
Correct.
It has to be seen.
That's right, yes.
I really have to see them compete.
And I definitely want to dive into that a little bit later with you. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
No, you're
so,
definitely right.
But they're playing well. They're blocking well. The defensive backfield looks good. The offense is running so smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that they probably, over the first half of the season, have looked as good on both sides of the ball as any team in the state.
Agreed.
You know, I kind of got lured in last season. I was hypnotized by what Perry did early on, and I don't want to get lured in again. Fool me once, you know the saying. I know they got Highland up this week. I'm not sure about the situation with Tyler Johnson. Sometimes he's playing, sometimes
correct,
he's not.
Absolutely.
Sometimes he's going to play five positions, sometimes he's going to hang out and not play any positions. So he's big money Tyler Johnson. He's one of the best players in the state and can make an impact in so many different ways. I'm curious to see if and how he'll get loose against this Perry team. I know he wants a marquee win this season, and it could come at Perry's expense, but I do see Perry winning this game, personally. Yes. They're going to go into the toughest part of their schedule, which will be the next three games after Highland. I'm wondering if these Perry kids are looking past Highland, wondering what's to come with two home games against Chandler and Brophy, and then on the road against Hamilton, because man, that is a tough stretch of games.
It is. Their entire section is rough. I mean, let's not rule out the rivalry game of Basha, even though the Bears don't have that record. It's at Basha, and you never know what will transpire because that will be the last game of the regular season.
Okay, I have Perry at number 10 in the state 48 Power 48 rankings, and four teams from their section are, I mean, including them, four teams from that section are in that top 10. Chandler at 7. Brophy at 6, Hamilton at 5. So no breaks. Breaks the rest of the way.
It's going to be tough, and you know we'll see the true grit that Perry has.
Correct, I agree, and I'll definitely say, and I think we're all in sync with the fact of seeing is believing, and I'll definitely say that the Perry listenership to this show is definitely at an all-time high, but seeing is believing. As I look at the five teams that they've played, their record is 5-17. And we agree that Desert Vista puts up the fight, but DV is 1-3, Pinnacle 1-4, Millennium 0-4, Westwood 2-3, and O'Connor 1-3. So while they've been blowing people out, for me at least, it's not as dominant as it would be if we mixed in another team. Because I look at a Hamilton, they played Desert Ridge. We've seen Chandler play some top-notch teams. Even a Bash has taken on what we believe is a strong Westview team. So just getting you guys' thoughts initially on certainly a talented Perry team, very talented, but until they beat one of those section teams, I'm not on board fully. I'm not a buyer yet until they knock off Brophy, Chandler, or Hamilton.
Fair enough.
I agree, but I also look at like that win over O'Connor. It's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
At least on the scoreboard, a big win. And that's a team that had to face Mountain Point in the first week of the season, be their punching bag. And one thing that O'Connor's well known for is getting better as the season goes along, but it didn't matter against Perry. Perry did the exact same thing. And so, it's not like you're going to go and out-win a Mountain Point. So you're not going to go out and beat a team they beat by 40, by 80.
You know, correct.
But if you're doing the same thing that they're doing, I think that bodes well for you. I think that they easily could have lost that game to Desert Vista.
Yes, they could have. It was a quick two-play overtime. You're right. A fumble, and next thing you know, Fultz takes it in.
Right. Even then, didn't they force a fumble to kind of force overtime?
Yes, so, yes.
You know, that really could have gone a different way, and we could be talking about Perry in a much different tone without that quality win as part of what they're doing. So I think, you know, I'm encouraged by them replicating some of the results of some of the state's other elite teams, and I'm encouraged by realizing that Desert Vista is a good team who's probably going to win this weekend against a lucky to be 4-0 Dobson team.
Sure,
but yeah, the section is going to be the telling thing.
Just curious, spectating and analyzing, you brought it up. Mountain Point beat O'Connor 51-6 in the season opener, and then Perry beat O'Connor 43-0. Does that mean that Perry gives Mountain Point a game? Does that mean that they play head-to-head, that we're looking at maybe a 14-7 game or a 21-14 game or something like that? Because we saw Mountain Point blow the doors off of what we all thought was a very, very good Chandler team, and none of us anticipated anything like that.
I think that Perry would give a better game to Mountain Point than Chandler would stylistically, because Chandler uses speed on the edge, and Mountain Point has the perfect counter to that. They have long athletic players who play angles very well. But you still don't really have anything to deal with Mountain Point's running game and their offensive line and Eddie Revis and all that, which means Mountain Point's going to hold the ball for a lot of time. Then if you make one mistake, and Perry's young, if you make one mistake, they'll make you pay for that mistake. And so I don't see it being a close game, but stylistically, I think they match up better with Mountain Point than Chandler did.
Yeah, I think that Mountain Point, and it's, as we've seen, sometimes we make predictions, sometimes we don't. I just think Mountain Point is actually, I'm going to say, head and shoulders right now above most teams, including Perry. So I don't think it would necessarily be the 52-7 blowout that we saw, but I do think it would be a decisive victory for Mountain Point, as they have proven essentially all year long. Well, guys, as always, it has been an outstanding time wrapping a little, I was going to say college football, but that's for another show, for high school football with you guys. I'll certainly see you on the sidelines. He's Ralph Amsen. He's Chili. I'm Brett Quintine, and we're out.